Hi, it's Nadine Peart here from Healthy You, Healthy Love, and I'm the creator of SOS Simple Orgasmic Secret. And today I've actually got someone that I'm interviewing who is the writer of Inspire Your Lover, which is part of the SOS program. It's Jonathan Green, and he's the co-creator of Girl Gets Ring and the creator of Girlfriend in a Week. And today we're going to be talking about men's underground insecurities. And we're going to be revealing some of the things that women really aren't sure about or don't know that can really affect the way that they connect and communicate with men. So welcome, Jonathan, to Healthy You, Healthy Love.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here today.
Well, look, I've just loved, you know, working with you, creating Inspire Your Lover, and it's basically how to get a man to make love to you right. And, you know, there's many topics we can talk about when it comes to men's insecurities, but there's a couple of key ones. What are the sort of key things that men, you know, in a nutshell, and I know that today we're going to focus on one in particular, but what are the things that most men sort of tend to, you know, be challenged with?
You know, most men are either insecure about their looks, their financial situation, which can be how much money they make, or their job, or they're really insecure about what they have downstairs. Yeah. You know, the little guy.
I know, and women are insecure about their vaginas. So it's sort of like we're breeding a world of people who are insecure about their bodies. One of the things that's interesting, there's a study that says that 50% of men aren't happy with their bodies. And I think it's something like 97% of women aren't. So even though men are behind women, it's still pretty high.
Yeah, and it's just going to catch up. It's only because we kind of got a late start with the way media throws all these images at us, you know, especially with the changes in technology. Everyone in movies is photoshopped now. Nobody actually looks like that. So more and more, we're getting images that aren't even images of real people. We're just looking at cartoon characters or people that are run through Photoshop, and we're thinking, oh, I need to look like that. But nobody looks like that. That's why they have to use Photoshop. There's no real person that exists that looks like that.
You know, it's interesting because sometimes, like very rarely, but once in a while I'll catch myself and I'll be in a function or in a room full of people and you'll look around and, like, you know, everyone's pretty just, you know, normal looking. Everyone's doing their thing and everyone wants love and to find love and to have, you know, to be attractive and to be desired. And you think, well, most people in this room are just, you know, they're not looking like anything you see in a magazine. And that's the reality. That's most people in life. That's what we are. Kind of average.
Yeah, that's why it's called average. It's because most people are average. Like, yeah, the majority of people are average. That's what average means.
Yeah. So tell me, what really happens for men and what, you know, men and their penises? What goes on? What thoughts are they having? And how does this affect the way they are with women?
You know, it used to be, when I was a kid 20 years ago, you never saw one anywhere. Mm-hmm. Outside of the locker room, you never saw someone else's penis. But now, you know, even in mainstream movies, it started catching up. Just like they started showing more and more female nudity, they're starting to show men's equipment in more movies. Mm-hmm. I saw it for the first time when I was in a movie, almost 20 years ago now. In the theater, I was like, whoa, I haven't seen that in a movie before. So more and more, we're getting shown these images, again, of fake artificial equipment, things that have been CGI'd, photoshopped, edited to make them bigger and bigger. So guys think that they need, like, a 17-inch, you know, penis that's, you know, like 6 inches across and really something that's basically big enough to murder anyone you actually had sex with. Like, that's the image that constantly gets put into us. Mm. And it's constantly more and more, if you pay attention to language, you'll see that the language in television, media, and popular culture has really shifted. There's a lot more kind of telling someone they have a small dick has really become more and more of a popular insult. Mm. And you can see how that's become kind of part of the public zeitgeist. That's one of the best ways to see, you know, it used to be a big insult to call a guy female's parts, but now just saying, oh, you've got a small man's parts is even more insulting. So more and more a question of manliness is you have to have something huge. Mm-hmm. And of course, with the prevalence of the internet, everyone can see tons and tons of pornography, and every one of those guys has like a 14-inch penis. And of course, that's not reality, and that's not what any woman actually wants. You know, with experience, but you also get then young girls are watching the same thing. And you see all these young girls, you know, like 20, 21, 18, whatever, making comments like, oh, I'm a size queen, or I need it really big. And they all talk about how they need a 12 inch or 14 inch penis. Like those are even that common. And so what you have is these young guys believing and learning from movies, oh my gosh, I need that. And then they hear girls reinforcing that, but all their information is coming from the same place. It's like a rumor. They think that it's true just because they hear it from different places, but nobody wants that. In reality, you don't need that. Anyone who actually has one that big is actually at a disadvantage because there's so many problems with it. But it's all misperception and it's all media and creating these problems. So guys have this massive insecurity unless they have something that's basically horrific. They think that it's too small.
I remember a guy in I was in high school actually, and a guy at school sort of sat down next to me, and he was a really big guy, as in like he was just big dude, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it represents the size of someone's penis, but he did say to me, oh, I can't have sex with anybody. I think he was 18 actually, and he said I can't have sex, or 17, looked like he was 25, and he said, because my penis is so big. He said, I literally cannot. There's no girl that can actually. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, okay, the girls are young, but it was a problem for him. And so going back to, you know, here we are talking about penises. And, you know, I mentioned vaginas before. And it feels to me that we're not even focusing on the right stuff, like what really matters. And whilst we're so focused on the external, we're not actually allowed to come into our bodies and actually be intimate, where all that stuff doesn't even matter. Because no matter what size penis the man has, if they're not connecting with their partner, if there is no intimacy, whether people are conscious of that or not because of conditioning, sex actually feels quite empty and like it's nothing anyway. It doesn't feel like it means anything. And so I think that that's more important in many ways, is learning how to actually have conscious sex and connected sex. And once you're in your head and you're in fear, how can you experience real pleasure is what I think.
I think you're totally right. I think that it's getting caught up in the surface element, or like the least important element of it. You know, you get so caught up in it and you think, oh, as long as the guy's huge, everything's going to be good. And that's kind of such a superficial level of thinking, and same for the guy, you know. And what happens is, ironically, guys that are big tend to be the worst because they don't have to put in any effort, you know. They're like, hey, I've already got a monster. Why would I need to connect with you or learn to, you know, meet your needs? You know, I brought this to the table. You got to do everything else. So you actually tend to get a worse experience with those types of guys. But yeah, I think that we get caught up, and I think it's because there's been such a cultural shift to you know, really a pornography society, a society that's been influenced so much by this. Like every single person now who's 18, the first time they ever saw sex was on the internet. There's nobody, there's no innocence anymore in our society. There's no kind of learning or no experiencing it for the first time yourself. So those people kind of get all these things and they pick up all these habits. They think that those are the positions you want to do, where like you've got your leg over the top of like the side of her leg so the camera can get in there. And it's like, that's not, nobody wants that. Nobody wants those, you know, camera friendly angles. They're so uncomfortable. But you kind of learn all that stuff and you think, and those are not built on intimacy. There's no dialogue. And if there is, it's terrible. So they completely ignore it. It's kind of like when I was younger, and I was talking to someone in college, and you know, we were saying, you know, there's actually no healthy representations of sex in media at all. You never see two people having sex for the 10th time. You only ever see the first time together in any movie. You never see a married couple that's married for 10 years having like normal, healthy sex. So even before the internet and all that, there's never been a healthy representation. You never saw like I Love Lucy. They're married for 20 years. They had two separate beds. You know, people would have been shocked to see those two have sex, even though that's actually a healthy, normal relationship. It's always people the first time they're together. And, you know, if it's a movie, maybe you'll see the first, second, and third time they're together. Like, I was just watching a TV show last night that's just about, like a guy who used to be a drug dealer, now he bought a club in New York. It's like total fiction. And it has tons of gratuitous sex scenes that don't forward the plot and mostly confuse me because I don't understand why everyone's having sex with each other. I can't tell who's bad guys and good guys. Like, it's so unnecessary for the plot. Okay. But then no one would watch the show if it didn't have it, I guess, if it's on Showtime or whatever. And that's what we've turned to, is that it's never – he's married. The one person you never see him having sex with is his wife. Like that, they're never going to show, because what's the point of that? You got to see the mistress. You got to see the other girlfriends. Yeah. And they show everything. And all it does is kind of put into your mind, oh, this is what's normal. Because if you see stuff enough times, then you assume that that's normal or that's reality. Mm-hmm. So we have all these guys that have learned from the wrong places. Because the one people who never really talked to us about sex is our parents. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad and me never had like a real, like, deep talk other than don't get a girl pregnant or you're on your own. He was never like, let me tell you the positions your mom likes. Let me, you know, he never really went deep. He never said, let me show you. He never pulled it out and got hard for me so I could see if I was the same size.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I actually, I know of a guy that his father was very well sort of, well, with a flaccid penis, he was quite well endowed. And he, for years, thought that he had a tiny penis, which he didn't. But flaccid, his penis was quite different to his father's. So that's what he was comparing it on. But as far as an erect penis goes, he was probably, you know, definitely on the probably average to slightly above average. So it's sort of like, so for him, for years, he had such an insecurity about it. So I find that really, you know, that's interesting how he had that, he lived with that, and it did affect him for so long.
Yeah, that's actually really common because, again, people are so ignorant about, just like guys have no idea how vaginas work. Pretty much no guy knows what's going on in there.
Yeah.
We go through like that 20-minute sex ed class once when we're 12 and that's it. Most people have no idea how penises work. They don't know the difference between a shower and a grower.
Yeah.
So they'll, I know a lot of girls, you know, and a lot of guys too, that basically decide how big someone is based on how it looks flaccid.
Mm.
And that's basically a demonstration of like a dramatic ignorance of biology. Like, you only have to see it once to know how it works. But so many, I always hear that. They're like, oh, that guy's so small. I'm like, but he's not hard. You don't know what's going to happen. It could be a big surprise. Sometimes they get four times longer when they get, you know, yeah. I'm a grower, not a shower. So I'm small flaccid as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I always grew up around that thinking, but I'm like, well, who cares how big it is when it's soft? No one wants to, who wants to touch it then anyways? But you kind of get, again, people get these weird ideas because we don't have healthy conversations about sex or body parts. It's so weird to talk to
someone
about stuff.
The thing is, then we're talking about, well, oh, but it's you know, it's fine when it's erect. And I think, well, at the same time, like maybe it's spit on the small side when it's erect, but hey, you know, like whatever. Yeah, I do think that women and men generally don't know that much about their anatomy at all. Women know that they have a clitoris and they have a vagina and maybe a G-spot, but really, I don't think many people, hence why I've created this program and wanted to get you involved in doing this, is because so many people just know the very, very basics and have no idea about, yeah, they just don't. And it needs to change. And in the US, there's a lot of porn, there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on, but there's also that side of the US where, you know, nipples and everything's hidden, and whereas in other parts of the world, that's not the case. Like, the US is pretty strict with that kind of what's allowed and what's not to be seen on, you know, TV or magazines. Or do you find that's the case?
Yeah, in certain ways, we're very conservative. Mm. And my experience traveling around the world is that the more conservative you are, like in your public areas, the more weird and like divergent you are when it comes to your pornography.
Mm.
Like, I lived in Japan for a long time, and in public, it's the most proper and conservative society. But then you watch a dirty Japanese video, and it's weird and haunting. You know, it made me very uncomfortable. So, and it's the same thing. So, yeah, in America, we have all these things like, oh, you can't say, you can't show nipples on TV, but you can show, if you're on HBO and it's after 9 o'clock, you can show guys' balls from the side.
Mm.
So it's, I'm like, what? Mm. I don't need to see that. That doesn't help me figure out who the killer is in a mystery, like the guy's balls, but it's become more and more like a necessary part of our language. Like, it's the grease that makes the wheel keep spinning of media.
Mm. So what can girls do to appease men and make them feel more confident, more comfortable within their own bodies and with their penis?
You know, most people kind of never say anything. It's like, I can, you know, so few women have ever said anything, but I remember the first time a girl said something nice about my penis, I was like, whoa, that's awesome.
Mm.
There's two really powerful things you can say to a guy that'll blow his mind when it comes to his penis. One of them is you can just say, wow, it's really pretty penis. You know, anything. Like, it sounds silly, but if you take someone, nobody ever says anything. Women think that guys get complimented as much as them, but they don't.
Yeah.
Your average guy gets one compliment about a month outside of work, if that.
Yeah. Yeah, you wrote about that. I love reading that because it's so true, and it is important to compliment men. I think women get very focused on what the guy's saying to them, what are they getting from the guy, but I think women have a habit of forgetting to compliment and really notice that men need this too. Mm.
And because we get it so rarely, compliments for us are much more powerful. Mm. You know, if you get complimented 50 times a day, if you're a beautiful woman or whatever, it doesn't have as much meaning. You know, or you comment once a day or twice a week, whatever. But for a guy who gets it like almost never, one compliment makes a huge difference, especially because no one ever says anything like that. And it's one of the great ways to kind of start building that connection and making him feel something for you he's never felt for anyone else before, because no one else has ever said it. I'll always remember the first time a girl said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that, yeah, anything about that, you know, like, wow, I really like your balls. It's a nice thing to say. It's a really good thing to hear. Every guy wants to hear that.
They protrude out of my body and hang. Yeah, I'd like you to like what they look like.
Yeah, you can say things like nice hang. I like how far they hang or how tight they are to your body.
Yeah,
I like the color. Everyone's balls are a different color.
True.
All those different things. I used to know a girl who like was obsessed with balls and thought of them as like their own ecosystem, and was just talking about how much she loved balls and how amazing my balls were. That was really cool too. So anything like that could be really interesting.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Well, and what about women? I mean, I know we're not really meant to be talking about women too much, but for women that are paranoid or lack confidence with their vaginas, as a man who has probably seen enough, if someone hasn't looked after themselves, not clean, okay, well, fair enough. That's a problem. And as it is for men, I mean, there's men who do not look after themselves and keep their bodies clean. So it goes both ways, I can assure you. So for women generally, and do you have any thoughts, personal thoughts on that yourself?
I usually say something like, it feels really nice. It's a great fit.
Yeah.
Because there's, with women, with vaginas, there's this idea that and it's too weird. There's one mindset that says it needs to be super tight, which means it's just going to hurt every time you have sex, you know, or that it's going to, that it needs to be super big to make room for this giant imaginary penis that every guy wants.
Yeah.
But really, you just want a good match. So I'll say something like, oh, your vagina's really pretty. Or I like the way you shaved your hair into the Mercedes logo. So whatever, you know, the girl, anything like that, but you just want to say, you can say anything. You don't have, because no one comments each other's genitalia ever.
Yeah.
You can say anything and it will work. You don't have to be really sophisticated. You can just say nice vagina and most girls will be flattered, because most guys don't say that. Most guys don't take the time.
No.
You know, if you just say, wow, your vagina feels amazing, or I love how wet you are, or I love, you know, how deep you are, anything like that, or like, your vagina is amazing. It's the best vagina I've ever touched. Or, you know, anything like that. It doesn't have to be complicated, but that's what people just need a little bit of feedback. You know, we're so busy, caught up in our own heads, we forget that the other person is just as self-conscious and paranoid and wants to hear something to make them feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
So you feel like you have the connection. And it doesn't take that much to alleviate that self-consciousness. You know, one compliment to the guy about his penis and all the self-consciousness is going to be gone. And you're going to have a much more intimate experience. And he'll usually respond. If you say to a guy, nice penis, he'll immediately go, oh, I should probably tell him what I think of her vagina. And then he'll say something nice back, because you've opened the door and now you're having like a more normal conversation. And that'll become part of the way you communicate with each other in general.
Mm.
You'll create a more healthy line of communication, which is what you want. It's just about saying what you should say. You know, a lot of times the number one thing holding us back from doing what we want to do is like fear or nervousness or awkwardness.
Yeah.
And if you just let go of that and just do what you know you should do in the first place, you'll have a much better, more intimate, amazing experience.
Well, that's absolutely true. You either come from fear or love. And if you, and a lot of us hold back and don't say things, and it's something that both genders, and I do think that women typically think that they're better communicators, but it's not necessarily the case. And often women are waiting for men to lead or for men to say something, then they'll feel safe to say it. And I mean, I've done that in the past myself. Like, that's something that I'm naturally probably, I am a complimenter anyway. This comes naturally to me, but there are times when I do hold back when I probably shouldn't. Just be mindful of that. And just one more thing, just talking about vaginas. Are you picky with vaginas? Because here we are talking about, women, men being insecure about their parts. Do you have a preference with vaginas, or are you pretty much like, as long as it's, as long as she looked after herself, I'm kind of happy?
I've had a couple of experiences where it didn't fit. Mm-hmm. Like, I was too big for the girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm no monster. But it's just like there's big and small penises, there's big and small vaginas, which most people don't know. Most people think vaginas are a universal size. Yeah. But, when you get an incompatibility, that sucks. Mm. So I've had that a few times, so I definitely... What I look for is someone where it fits nicely and it doesn't hurt the girl. Yeah. If the girl's on the small side and it hurts her, it's not good. And if the girl's on the giant side and they can't through the walls, she needs a bigger guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Those are rare. That's so rare.
That's rare, yeah. Mm. Well, look, Jonathan, thank you so much for discussing this all-important topic. And I know we're going to chat about another one another time. But, it's been a pleasure to have you here to... uncover some of these underground men's insecurities.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, chat to you soon.
Okay, bye.